Welcome to the Seven Rays webinar. I'm so glad you're able to attend, and we're here ready to go. But before we actually get started, there's a few slides I have that I want to talk to you about protocol. And I'm moving on to the next one, and it's not going there, so let me just. Okay, that's not working. Okay. So we're going to have to use the different method, guys. Should have practiced this before. One of the things we want to talk about is that we're going to be doing the seven rays, talking about the seven rays, and I'm a little stuck here. I can't seem to get out of this, you know, guys. There we go. We're going to be looking at protocols. And first one is about the noise. All of you are muted, and for the time being, we're going to keep you all muted. And the only time we're not going to mute you is when it's time to raise your hand and ask a question. And we're going to do that after each presentation. Okay, there's going to be about four presentations, and then I'm going to be unmuting each person as they raise their hand. Okay, so I'm trying to get this so that since the other thing didn't work, we're going to do this instead. Can you all see hopefully the screen well? Okay, just give me a second here. Okay, when you raise your hand, oh, now what? Wow. When you raise your hand, there's an arrow on the hand that's a downward arrow. This downward arrow indicates that your hand is down. When it goes up, then we know that your hand is up. And we are going to ask you to only do that towards the end after the sessions are over. If you hear echoing in the background or interference that comes like a loud noise, a cacophony of sounds, it's usually computers that are making that noise. So once your question is asked, and if we hear that, I will mute you again, and then I'll answer the question. So for time purposes, we're going to move on. Okay. I thought that the best way to approach this was to start at the beginning and to look at the macrocosm as we move into the microcosm, which is us. And so we're looking at what life is. It completely pervades and permeates the universe. Through some of these slides, I'm going to move rather quickly because we don't need to stay on them very long. We just want you to get the sense of it, and then we're going to go and talk about the seven rays themselves. So this all-pervading force is called by a host of different names. It's called God or Spirit. It's the Supreme Being, the root principle of existence. Words like the first radical cause or the primal source. It doesn't matter what background you have, how you call this, but it's still known to us esoterically as life. So this whole universe is the manifestation of one unifying, all-pervasive principle called life. It's very important that we understand that it is life. It's everywhere. It's eternal. And life could be called God. It pervades everything, from the tiniest atom in a laboratory to a human being or to a planet or to a universe. So if you get anything out of this, it's the idea that God is transcendent, it's outside of ourselves, like most religions talk about, but it's also immanent, it's within us. So God is transcendent as well as immanent. We are considered a brotherhood of life, for there exists only the one life, only oneness. God is in all, and all is in God. While I'm looking through these slides, I hope you're enjoying the slides because they give you a sense of what we're talking about. So from this one life, all manifestation comes forth. When it does, we have a duality or the two. We have spirit and matter. Okay? Spirit in esoteric language is the father, and the mother is matter. These are the dualities that our system, that we are so familiar with. Just another way of saying the same thing. The relationship between the father, the spirit, and the mother, the matter, they get together and they produce what we call the sun. And that sun is consciousness. And consciousness is the second aspect. So we have the one, the three, and the middle being the two. This is known as the divine triplicity, or as we call them, the three aspects of deity. Used with different language, we would say it is spirit, consciousness being in the middle, and then matter. Here it is again. It's life. Life is broken down into these three aspects. The first aspect is the will aspect. The second aspect was consciousness or love. And the third aspect is the intelligence aspect. Okay, so here's a quote from Esoteric Psychology 1. The father, which is spirit or life, wills to seek the satisfaction of desire. The mother, or matter, meets that desire and is attracted also by the father. Now, don't we know that even in our own lives, right? The father, the mother, they get together. Their mutual response initiates the creative work. And bingo, a son is born, inheriting from the father the urge to desire or love. And from the mother, the tendency towards actively to create forms. So we see how the three aspects of deity work out. What is that first aspect of deity? It is the will of God, the spirit, or the father. Now, I'm having helpers in the background here that are going to help us when your hands go up. And I'm hearing breathing. So somebody's breathing into their microphone. And I'm going to ask whoever is doing that to please move the microphone a little bit away from the mouth so that the breathing isn't so heavy. Thank you. So the will of God, which is spirit, father, like we talked about, it's known as the first aspect. It is known as the will to be. It's considered masculine energetically. So the father is the masculine, right? We know that. This is not new material. It is emissive, it is forceful, and it exerts power. It is the will to express. It's that persistent will to be that drives all onto the consummation. So will, just if in your mind you can understand what will is, it's that force that moves forward. It's the driving force that wants to make us want to be. It's the will to be. It is the power that even drives the little flower seed out of the ground, reaching higher in towards the sun. So let's look here. Here's an image of that kind of masculine polarity known as the father or spirit. It is dynamic. It is forward moving. It's emissive. We can see how it protrudes. It's emissive. It motivates everything to growth. It's the will. We note the word will used with the father, the will to express. So that's the spirit part. Now we move on to the third aspect, or the activity. This was known as the intelligence, or the mother, or matter. Remember, the one and the three, the father and the mother. So this is the mother. Intelligence, believe it or not, is known as the mother principle, or the matter principle. It is negative in its energy. It is receptive. Just like a mother is, it's the receiver of the energy that the father emits. Now, where do we see this? We see this in nature. Nature is adaptable. Nature is intelligent. And what that brings about is discrimination. That's what nature is. It's able to discriminate. It's able to choose and to select. Every atom within the universe demonstrates discrimination by the process known as natural selection. So we see that intelligence that is built into every atom, whether that atom is a tiny atom in a scientist's laboratory, whether that atom is a human being, whether that atom is a planet, whether that atom is a universe. Okay, so we're talking about nature as an example. It is innate intelligence within matter or substance itself. Nature is adaptable and intelligent. The universe is infinitely intelligent. It has sprung from the mind of God. The third aspect, the adaptability, is conditioned by that which exerts and influences it. It is moved by or to various circumstances. So it can adapt its needs to whatever circumstances are out there. So we've covered the first aspect, being the Father, the will. We've covered the third aspect, being the Mother, the matter, or intelligence. And now we're going to look at love, the love of God, which is now the second aspect. It is the Son. The Son, to use another way of expressing it, is consciousness or soul. And here's a really good word to use with the Son, or the second aspect. It's the relator. It relates spirit to matter. Always it is in between spirit and matter. Love is the quality of attraction and repulsion. It actually is part of the law of attraction and repulsion of existence and of the universe. Within it is also magnetism. It attracts and binds everything together, or repels and repudiates and pushes aside. It governs gravity. Gravity is a second, it's a second ray, or it's a second aspect law. Gravity, as we know, constantly attracts us down to the earth. It pulls us down. Magnetically, we are attracted to the earth. It also repels that which is beyond its sphere of influence. That's why other planets don't bump into us, right? It has its own orbit, and it the Earth then has its own orbit, and it just stays within that, not attracting and repelling that which it needs. One of the ways that we demonstrate this second aspect is through love, and that another way is through light. And this love, or second aspect, or love, gives form quality. This word quality is such an important word as it applies to the second aspect. It conditions everything to be what it is. It makes a cauliflower, let's say, different from a rose. It makes each one of us different to the next. And that's all as the result of the second aspect. Love is an all-inclusive, cohesive principle. And I'm just going to show you some pretty pictures so you get a sense of it. It's the glue that coheres and keeps all together, like the heart of the sun. The sun nurtures, keeps everything alive, and keeps us all together. So, just summarizing what we've just talked about, the first aspect is the will to be. It's considered masculine energetically. It is emissive. It's forceful, and it exerts power. The third aspect was the mother, the will to adapt and activity. It's considered feminine energetically. It's receptive. It is moved by or moves to circumstances, and it is conditioned by that which exerts and influences it. And then the second aspect, which was the relator, it was the sun, and is the sun, is the will to attract and to cohere. It conditions and qualifies everything to be what it is. And before we move on, note the colors. The colors are demonstrative of the quality of those three aspects. The first is power, it is will, and it's red. The third is the matter aspect. And if you think of nature, it's mostly green. And the second aspect is the love aspect, and it is the color of our solar system, which is indigo blue. I excuse myself, my voice. I've been sick all week, and so I still cough a little bit and sound a little sick, but I'm okay. So summarizing it all in a different way, we have life with its three aspects, the first aspect, the second aspect, and the third. And we're going to read synonyms, words that mean the same thing. We're going to go across. We'll start with life, quality, and appearance. If any of you have read any of the blue books, these are terms, these are words that the Tibetan uses an awful lot. And so that we are all on the same page, we are showing you different ways of saying the very same thing. So the next line, we go to spirit, we go to soul, and we go to body. That's exactly the same as the line above it. The third line would read spirit, consciousness, and form. And then we go to will, love, and intelligence, or father, son, and mother, and in Christianity is known as the Holy Spirit. In other religions, we have Shiva, which is the first aspect, Vishnu, which is the second aspect, and Brahma. In Kabbalah, we have Kepher or Kether. We have Chochmah for the second aspect, and Bina for the third. And then we have Sat. Most people know it as Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So it's Sat for the first aspect, Chit for the third aspect, and Ananda for the second aspect. All right, we're all clear on that, and that's very good. We're going to close this one down now, and I'm just going to move to the next one, which is just a continuation of this, and then we'll be open for more questions. So just bear with me, since I can't use the other technique I was so counting on using, which were the slides, and it just balked. It didn't work. So we're going to use this way. Okay, well, now we're moving into the seven rays. This is a general introduction right now on these slides to what the seven rays are. What you'll see enumerated here are the names of the rays. And I tell people often that if you spend time just contemplating what the names themselves mean, what is it that they're trying to tell us, we would know so much about the ray. So much about the ray, even without studying all the various qualities associated with the ray. The name itself tells us so much. And of course, they're all color coordinated here. And rather than spending the time on reviewing all of this with you, we're going to move on. But I know none of you is absolutely new to the ray, so you've already studied and learned these names, right? Okay, we're going to move on. The next slide. We have a wonderful quote here, also from the Tibetan. It's from Letters on Occult Meditation. The seven colors may be regarded as a band of seven colors circling and continuously shifting and moving through the planes back to their originating source. What I'm hoping you get a sense from this slide and the next one is that the rays are not static. The rays are constantly in motion. This one shows rotary motion, and maybe that's the best way to consider the rays. They're constantly cycling in and then cycling out. Like we're told that ray 4 right now is not that active in our system, in our time period right now. It's going to be cycling in. We know that the seventh ray is starting to cycle in, whereas the sixth ray is starting to cycle out. So think of these as cycles, as circles, as rotary motion, as movement of energy and streams of energy. Okay, so just a few words to tell you about the rays. The one life that we talked about earlier expresses through seven streams of divine energies called seven rays. It's that simple. There's seven streams of energy, and we could say they're anything, but a stream is a ray. It's that simple. It's like a ray of the sun. It's a ray. We could have used another name for it, but the Tibetan gave us the word ray, so we use ray. They are the first differentiation of the divine being God, being deity, being the one life, being life. And its first differentiation is the triplicity that we talked about, spirit, consciousness, and form or matter. After you have these three, you have the seven coming out of these three. So they are the first differentiation of God, of life, which self-contains these three aspects. So one is known as the will of God, the other one is the love of God, and the next one is the intelligence of God or the mind of God. These three make up the one life, and out of that flow the seven rays. They've been called the seven spirits before the throne, the seven aeons, or the seven rishis. And we said earlier that the seven rays express qualities. That's, again, a super good word to use with rays. Each ray has a different color, a different sound, a different vibration. So, backing up again, our galaxy. This is a lovely picture of our galaxy, isn't it? The ancient wisdom tells us that our sun is one of seven, which constitute a massive cosmic entity. In other words, seven solar systems. Can you imagine? Our sun, our system, is only one of seven. There are seven solar systems, of which our system is one, and this huge entity is called the one about whom naught may be said. So we call it the Oomnibus. It's an acronym for that. These seven suns, of which ours is one, are continually giving off forces which are the product of their ongoing evolution. Like, this is beyond our understanding and beyond our comprehension to think of seven solar systems. I mean, we have a hard time even considering our own sun and the life of our own sun and the life of our own system, let alone seven systems. So the reason we bring that up is because it is said that these forces that are working within these systems are absorbed through the seven stars of the Great Bear constellation called the Ursa Major. And the Ursa Major acts as an archetype of the seven rays. They emanate through these seven stars of the Big Dipper. They act as a prototype for the seven rays. So the seven stars of Ursa Major have much history and mythology in human consciousness, and in India are known as the seven rishis. Our sun acts as a gate for the seven rays energy to pour through into our system. Okay, so we get the idea of the downflow. Here's just another way of seeing how these seven are created and differentiated. So we have the one life, right? It's right here with the sun, the one life, which self-contains the three aspects. And then we have the first three rays, which are known as the rays of aspect. Ding! I hope you get this. Three rays are known as the rays of aspect, which is just a stepping down of the three aspects of deity. So the first ray would be very related to the first aspect, to the will of God. The second ray is very related to the second aspect, the love of God. And the third aspect is very related to the intelligence of God. These three are the three major rays of the seven rays. And the other four, ray four, ray five, ray six, and seven, are known as the rays of attribute. And what is an attribute? An attribute is something that complements or is given off by the other ones. So the rays of aspect all contribute to the rays of attribute, but they flow out of the third ray, the ray of intelligence, the ray of activity. And all of that will be explained a lot more later on. But so that you get the map of it all, this is a very simplified map, and it gives you a sense of how these rays work out. Okay, the one life, it breaks down into three aspects. Three rays are reflections of the three aspects, and out of that flow the four rays of attribute. I tried to get a slide that would show you how the rays come into us here on Earth. And out of a book many years ago, I took this picture, and it's not all that clear, but hopefully I can give you a sense of where we're going with that. At the very top, you'll see seven stars. These stars are the seven stars of Ursa Major, or the Great Bear, right? The constellation of the Great Bear. They give off the seven rays. And then that flows into the zodiacal signs, or constellations is a better way of saying it, which circumscribe our system. Okay? So you've got the seven Ursa Major rays, the rays from Ursa Major flowing into the zodiacal constellations. From that, they stream into our sun. And right in the center, that big circle, is the sun, our solar logos. From the solar logos, they get distributed to the planets. So the golden circles are the sacred planets. These are the more evolved planets. The ones below them, sort of in pinky color, are the non-sacred planets, of which one of them is the Earth. I mean, the Tibetan tells us there are five. Here there's only four. We only know of three, so, I mean, all of this is still a mystery. But from that, then, and when the Earth receives it, it then is distributed to all the various centers within our planet, and then, of course, to us as humanity. So save your questions, because after this, we'll open it up to questions. So if you were sitting here with me right now, I would ask you to name various sevens. And I'm sure you can think of sevens right off the top in your mind, right? Have you thought of 7 days of a week, right? Have you thought of seven musical notes? Have you thought of lucky seven from the dice? Here is just a few to look at. Seven major chakras, or glands. Seven wonders of the world. Seven states of consciousness. Seven deadly sins. Seven colors of the rainbow. Seven is a very, very important number in our system. Is it a wonder? It's all a reflection of the seven rays. I think I'm just about at the end here. Yeah, I'm at the end. So save up your questions now. I'm going to turn it over now for you to raise your hand and ask any questions thus far. When we're completed with this portion of this webinar, I will then move on to discuss the rays of aspect. That's all we're going to cover today. Okay, let me just get this.
Eva Victor has had his hand up for a while. Picture
Okay, let me
neutral.
see what I can do here. Okay, so I unmute him. Unmute Victor, right? I'm just learning this, guy, so be patient with me. This is an experiment and my first time doing this. So, Victor, there you are. You're on. Victor?
You talking to me?
Yes.
My hand ain't up.
Well, it shows that your hand is up here.
It says lower hand. Oh.
So, do you? I guess you do not have a question?
I do, but I didn't raise my hand. I thought you said put the arrow down for the lower hand.
I'm sorry, I can hardly hear you, Victor.
Okay.
See, it's up again. See, if there's a downward arrow on the hand, it means your hand is down. If there's no downward arrow, it means your hand is raised. And it shows up on my screen that it's raised.
Well, my arrow shows down. My arrow shows down.
Victor? Well, we have some wonderful helpers in the back. We have Joe Waltz, we have Brett Mitchell, and they're keeping their eyes open for any other hands. And if, oh, we have Tiago, right? Okay, I'm going to unmute you, Tiago.
Hi, Eva.
Tiago, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, perfectly.
Hello?
Hello.
I need you to speak up a bit.
Okay, in the first PowerPoint that I was looking at, and the slide 23, I have a doubt on that because maybe I was a little distracted and I understood wrong. I put the question here in the question dialogue here. I saw the third aspect is love and intelligence, and in the slide 24, when I was reading it, I look at what's inverted. Can you open the PowerPoint, the first PowerPoint again, and show me the slide 23, please?
The first PowerPoint, let's see if we can do this without too much time here, because if I take too much time, that's okay. Is this the one? No. Is this the
minute,
one?
Please. I'm not. Yeah. Yes, the first one. Yeah, please.
So, can you see it on my screen now?
No, not yet. Yeah. Now, the aspect, the first about activity. Now I understood.
So, is that okay? Are we all right
yeah,
with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty. Good. All right. I'm going to close this down, and I'm going to see if I can remove your hand. Okay, so are there any more questions? And it doesn't look like there is. So that means
Rose,
that you're all getting it.
Rose has her hand
Rose.
Up.
Rose. Where are you, Rose? Oh, there you go, Rose. Okay, I will unmute you. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Eva. How are you?
I'm good.
First off, is my sound coming through okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Is my sound coming? Okay,
yes.
Great.
Yes.
My question is, you said that the three aspects emanate from the one life, and out of those three aspects then come the three rays, three primary rays. How much do they reflect those three aspects?
Very much so.
I don't know if you're hearing any...
I heard it sounds like a washing machine or something is going, but it's okay. It sounds very much, no, they absolutely reflect the three aspects to the point that many students interchange ray and aspect and don't really understand the difference between an aspect and a ray. But suffice it to say that the rays, the first ray very much has similar qualities to the first aspect of deity. The second ray, as we're going to be studying now, has the same qualities as the second aspect of deity, and so on with the three aspects. Does that address your question, Rose?
But how, yeah, well, sort of, but not really. I'm trying to, in my mind, get a distinction between the difference between the aspects and those three primary rays. I know in ultimately they're all one, but, you know, and even where is the source of the one, which is, you know, the big question that's, you know, unfathomable. But do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, maybe if I worded it a little
bit differently. I understand that the rays relate.
They're a stepping down. They're a step down from the aspects. The aspects are self-contained within deity itself. There is always the will aspect of God. There's always the love aspect, as well as the intelligence, the mind of God. Right? Those that is deity itself. And what we're doing, we're applying a fifth ray approach, which is taking it apart in order to understand it, and then we have to put it back together again. So God, or deity, or life, self-contains these three things: it will, intelligence, and love. Those are known as the three aspects of deity. And religion, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are all familiar with that. Those are exactly the same things as will, love, and intelligence. Now, the rays are the next differentiation, the next breaking down of energetics that flows from the one deity. And it is then these seven rays. But the first three are called the rays of aspect because they are so much the same as the mind, the love, and the will of God. Does that help in any way, Rose?
But they're still different. Yes,
they're different,
but
right.
They're still different. They're very much the same, but they're different.
Right.
Okay.
It's a stream of energy, whereas deity is a lot more than a stream of energy. Okay? Okay. Anybody else's
okay.
Hand? I'm trying to get your hand down, and I can't, so I'm hoping someone back there can do it for me. Okay, have I got everybody here on mute? Because if you're all muted, I can move on. Mute. Okay, I'm sorry for this playing around with the technology here, but it's just... Okay. All right, I'm going to move on, guys. And we're going to actually talk about the rays. So we're going to go into... Whoops, I want you. I want this. That's exactly what I want. Okay. Oh, my gosh, all these things are popping up. All right. So the first ray we're talking about is ray one. Remember, it is a reflection of the first aspect of deity. What is its energy like? Well, if we use the word will or power as the name of the ray, it's the ray of will or power, we know that power represents strength. So the energy is strong. It is very direct. It is forward moving. It is piercing. Well, when we think back to the first aspect of deity, some of these words were represented when we talked about that it's masculine, it's emissive, it is forceful. Well, that's what first ray is. Now, remember we said the word quality is a very important word. Well, what is the quality of that ray one? Its quality, more than anything else, is its purpose. It is about purpose. And essence is the very, very center of that energy. It's the very, very centralized point of that energy to understand the essence. And if we understand the essence of anything, we understand its purpose, what it's all about. So we can see how the word essence, purpose, centralization, coming to a point, is so much part of the way the first ray energy is. We use the word synthesis And synthesis is a bringing together, a coming together of everything into one. It's simple as that, bringing it all together, melding it, merging it all into one point, one dot, one energy. That's what the first ray is all about. Now, there are symbols that we can use to identify that first ray. And they're a little different, and yet they give you the sense of what the first ray is all about. The word seed, it's a beautiful symbol. Why? Because in that seed is self-contained the entire potential of whatever the seed is. The power is in the seed, and all the potency that that seed is going to flourish to is self-contained within the seed. Now, we have a line. A line tends to be straight, narrow, single, pointed, and that's very first ray. It's number one. Even the number itself, the one, is like a line, right? It's single, it's straight. We have lightning bolt. Lightning bolt gives us the sense of strength, of energy behind it, of power. Lightning bolt can shatter. It's extremely powerful. Nobody wants to get hit by lightning. And then, of course, we have the idea of the arrow, which is very similar to the line. It's still forward moving. And a sword, which is very powerful. It's used in battle. It's used as symbols. And the eagle. Why the eagle? Because the eagle can soar so high. The eagle has the ability with its eye to hone in on its prey from way up there to see its prey. It's the eagle eye that has the big picture and can see the minute within that big picture. Well, that gives you a few ideas about the first ray. And as we go through some of these slides, I think if nothing else, you should get a sense of it all, because these slides are not meant for me to jabber on and talk. They're meant for you to just absorb the energetics behind it. But before we're ready to go there, just a little bit more of what I've already said. Its demonstration is the action of a seed sprouting through the earth. We've already said that earlier. It's the entrance to life of a baby being born. There's so much power that is necessary and strength that is necessary, that urge, that push to allow the baby to be born. That's a first-rate thing. It is about beginnings and endings. And of course, some of the other symbols are earthquakes, volcanoes, an atom bomb, a bullet. A bullet is like a seed. A revolution. These are all first-ray symbols or demonstrations. Some of this has already been in the other slide, was covered. A point, a lightning bolt, a spear, a sword, an arrow, and a mountain. The majesty, the strength of a mountain. Its color, its exoteric color, is orange, and its esoteric color is red, like the fire of the volcano. Okay, now if I could do the slides like I had wanted to, without all the stuff on the side, you would see the vividness of these pictures. But that, I'm going to run through a bunch of slides without saying too much for you to get the essence behind that first ray. A quote from Esoteric Psychology 1, it is the ray of such dynamic intensity that it is called the ray of the destroyer. It's the power behind it. It's the breath that blasts. So as I'm going through the slides, you can see that we're applying the rays to more than just human beings. The rays are all around us. They're everywhere. And when we have the esoteric eyes to look out, we should be able to see events, things, happenings that convey a particular quality. That quality is a ray. See, power and strength can give you a sense of fearlessness, courage. Okay, so what we're going to move on to now, which I think is one of the most important things, is the qualities associated with the rays. Now, we're going to talk about the strengths and some of the weaknesses. Why are there strengths and why are there weaknesses? Because a ray is simply an energy. A ray is not good and a ray is not bad. So why do we refer to strengths, which are the more positive things, and weaknesses, which tend to be the more negative thing? Because the way we appropriate, the way we take on the ray, will determine whether we use it for good or for ill. It's like fire. Fire by its very nature is not good and it's not bad. Fire can warm you. It can heat your food. It can keep you from freezing. Fire. But fire can also destroy your home. Fire can burn you. So energy just is. Rays just are. There's no one energy, there's no one ray that's better than another ray. They just are. How we use them will determine whether we use them for good or for ill, for as strengths or as weaknesses. Some of them here are very obvious now that you have a better idea of what the rays are. I will stop on the ones that I think need a little further talk about or explanation. So dynamic power and strength. It's will and courage, which can lead to fearlessness. It's truthfulness arising from fearlessness. It's independence and the power to initiate. Remember, it rules beginnings and endings, and it can initiate and start the new. Power to direct, to lead, or to govern. And a very strong sense of purpose. Large-mindedness. Therefore, they can be the CEOs. They can be the leaders of the armies or of the vanguard because they can see the entire picture. They have the large mind. They can see the big. Strong, one-pointed focus. Power to centralize. There's always someone, when you get a group of people together, who always says, all right, let's get to the point. Let's talk about what we're here to talk about. Always wants to bring it back to the center. That's the power of the first ray. It's the ability to synthesize. And we talked about synthesis before, bringing everything together into one. It's the wisdom to establish, uphold, or enforce the law. Very much about high principles. High principles, and therefore they will enforce the law, and they can be law abiding with what is the truth, right? Or what is truth? Here we go, understanding of principles and priorities. When you know priorities, you know what needs to go next, right? What needs to follow. So you can immediately prioritize, and that's again why they make excellent CEOs. Detachment, or the power to detach. Remember we saw the slide of the tree, very, very single. They don't need the warm, the fuzzy. They can detach very, very easily. And one of the purposes of first ray is not to be encumbered, not to be in shackles. Therefore, it is the power to free and to liberate. And they want to liberate others as well, so others know the freedom. And if there is destruction, it's the power of beneficent destruction. Destruction is not necessarily a negative word. One needs to destroy an old shack in order to put up a new building. Sometimes we need to destroy, but it's destruction for the good. Okay, so now let's look at some of the weaknesses. Well, power hungry, dominating, and being the ruler, control issues, destructive and unnecessary destruction, or inhumane, anger and violence, unrelenting ambition, the need to rise to the top, irrespective of what they do to others in order to get there, hardness, cruelty. Many, many leaders in history who have been first ray have shown this hardness and cruelty and this unrelenting ambition. Control. First ray is all about control. They're not going to show you any weakness whatsoever. And because of that control, a lot of their feelings are suppressed. They will suppress and keep things inside. Impatience, obstinance, they can be very, very stubborn. Excessive pride, like the lion. Separative, like that single tree. They don't need others. And they can isolate others, because they don't need them. They're not sensitive then to others' feelings, to what other people might be experiencing. They're very separative in their thinking and in their feeling. Arrogance, willfulness, and impersonal reactions. In other words, they can detach. I know many first-rate people that have decided, let's say, I'm going to give up smoking or I'm going to give up meat, and the very next day they can be so detached that they've given it up, whereas the rest of us struggle and struggle in order to do that. That's the power of detachment. So, some of this now we've covered, so this is already now not new to you. The animal, of course, is the eagle, the hawk, any of those high-soaring animals that give you the bird's-eye view, the larger perspective. The elephant, huge, big animal with a tremendous amount of power. The lion, the ram, and the bear. Now, this is very interesting as far as countries are concerned. Germany's P stands for personality, is a first-rate personality. Japan, and I don't remember offhand if it's soul or if it's personality, but if you look at this flag, it's got a circle, a red, which is the color of the first ray, a single circle on a white background. Yes, it's the rising sun, but it's interesting that that flag is so depicting of the first ray. And you have Great Britain, and you have India as a soul ray. Now, Germany, Japan, and Great Britain were very much involved in the World War because there's resonance with rays. One is attracted to the other. You resonate together. And of course, India, being first ray, was very much in resonance with Great Britain, which was an empire at one time. Institutions. If you haven't figured it out by now, it's all about government and politics. The military, the enforcement power of the police, and the empire. Again, Great Britain was an empire, the Roman Empire, but it doesn't mean that Italy is necessary first ray. It was the idea of the empire itself. Some vocational tendencies would be politicians, CEOs, positions of leadership such as kings, dictators, authority, working in government, in the military, in law enforcement, construction and demolition, adventurer, and some famous people, Margaret Thatcher, she was known as the Iron Lady, Winston Churchill, Napoleon Bonaparte, Abraham Lincoln, Franklin Roosevelt, and so on. Okay? Do I have any more here to show you before I move on? Because I can see by the time I've got to move quickly. The learning style is independent. They don't depend on others. They are able to grasp huge principles. And the teaching style is one of awakening and shaking up. they can be a little rough and a little tough, assertive. They explain broad principles. All of this is being recorded, and I think I forgot to turn on the record button, but thank goodness Brett is. It's all being recorded, and you'll be able to get that. And it is distributed through Aries, Leo, and Capricorn, and its planets are Vulcan, Pluto, and Uranus. I'm going to move on to the second one, and then we're going to wait for questions later on. I hope it's making sense to you guys. Okay, the second one, remember, is a reflection of the second aspect. And the second aspect was the love of God. And the name of this ray is love, wisdom. The love, we have the symbol for that brought to us by the Christ, and the wisdom, the symbol for that was brought to us by the Buddha. So love and wisdom, both of them are second ray energies. What is the energy like? It is round. It radiates like the sun radiates. It's magnetic and receptive. It's attractive. It's inclusive. It coheres, you know, holds things together. And remember, light was a really good word. Hence, it brings illumination. And some circle, some symbols that we can use are the circle, the heart, the spiral. The spiral moves up. A spiral moves up, and that's what evolution is about. Evolution is second ray. It's constantly moving you up, but in circles. It's the owl, which stands for wisdom, of course. Okay. Its demonstration is the right use of slow action, or spiral cyclic. We talked a little bit about that, or the even armed cross, and the color exoterically it's indigo blue, almost a little purpley, like it's a, like the dark blue at night, just before it gets really dark, and the esoteric color is light blue, the color of the solar system, or when you look out to the sky. So here are some slides to just to look at that would represent second ray. Spiral cyclic, it moves upwards. Wise. Its ability, because of its the love nature in it, it is a nurturer. Loving, caring, it's warm. The Buddha, he brought us the wisdom side of the second ray. It is the ray of teaching. It's the teaching ray, it's the healing ray. So hence, it's all about education or health and healing. Okay, so the colors. I hope you're getting a feeling for the second ray. And the deer, of course, is a second ray animal. It's a very fearful animal, and the second ray can be one of its, the downside for the second ray is it can be a little fearful and timid. It's also about the inclusivity of others, and which can lead to, second ray is not automatically group conscious because that's a soul state, but it can lead to inclusion that leads to eventually group consciousness. We're all working on knowing group consciousness, right? We're all working on being more connected to soul. And since it's a reflection of the second aspect, which was love, which was soul, it can then lead to, you know, being very inclusive of others in a group. And of course, fearfulness, worry, inadequacy, not as good as everybody else. You feel inadequate because it's overwhelming. There is so much to learn or so much more to know. It can be overwhelming. Okay, some of the strengths. Of course, second ray being the ray of love, it leads to understanding, others, to trying to understand yourself, to understanding. Wisdom, by now that's a given. Empathy, sympathy, and compassion. And sensitivity. Sensitivity to others, as well as sensitivity being too sensitive, right? So you can be sensitive to others' needs, and therefore you can nurture, you can be caring, or you can be too sensitive, and therefore things can overwhelm you, and you don't know how to handle it. Receptivity, you know, it can be an open book. You're too receptive, hence you can take in too much energy, but being receptive allows you then to receive. You can receive things, you can learn. After all, it is the ray of teaching. Impressionability, and impressionability goes two ways. You can be impressed from soul, you can be impressed by other people, you can be impressed by what you learn, or you're so impressed, the pressure of overwhelm of the energies can be hard to live with. You know, sometimes Pisces, being conveying the second ray, can experience that. The love of pure truth, intuitive love, patience. See, it's slow. It's the wise use of slow action. Therefore, patience is not all that hard for second ray. Inclusive. It wants to include all. Sometimes doesn't know where to draw the line. Hasn't got the boundaries well set. Aspiration for a completed point of view. That's the all of it. They want to know the all of it. They have tact. Why? Because they don't want to hurt other people's feelings. They're sensitive to others. Serenity. This is the whole idea of peace. The power to teach and to the power to teach and illumine, as well as the power to heal through love. And on the downside, we have some of the weaknesses that come from love. The love of being loved. And for some of you, this might be a new term. It's one of the glamours of the second ray, the love of being loved. It really requires pondering. It requires really looking at yourself if you think you have a second ray within you, the love of being loved. For years, I have spent with the love of being loved, and I really invite you all to spend time with it. It's really, really good. And see how and where you do that, how you behave in a way that brings other people to love you, to like you. Anyway, we move on. It's attachment. Because of its ability to be magnetic and its ability to have the warms and the fuzzies, it is attached. It's attached to other people. It's attached to things. It's attached to feelings. There's a real strong attachment. We're all working on detachment. Oversensitivity and therefore over-vulnerability. If you're timid, if you are feeling overwhelmed, it can lead to lacking self-confidence or inferiority complexes, which can then lead to not being assertive enough, not putting your foot down, not saying what needs to be said because you're afraid of hurting other people's feelings, or you're a little bit timid, whatever. Passiveness, not being forward enough. Fearfulness, cautious, overprotective, or guarding. You can be over-inclusive, like I said earlier, not knowing boundary issues, not knowing where to cut it off. Enough is enough already. Self-pity, inadequacy, love of comfort and security, and you can see how that relates to attachments, right? The things that we need for our security and for feeling comfortable. Attachments to comfort zones, and sometimes slow to action. Now, this one is a hard one for people to get. Cold and indifferent to others. Why would second ray, which is all about warm and fuzzy and including and love, be cold? Well, if you're timid, if you're feeling overwhelmed and therefore lacking in self-confidence, there is that ability to be removed, to be you insulate inside yourself and hence indifferent to others and a little bit cold. From the wisdom side, over-absorption in study. The wisdom side loves to learn and loves to study. And they, I know people, and you must all know them, people that have gone to university and to school, their whole life they're still in school. They don't go out and get a job. They're still in school because they're over-absorbed in study. Maybe it's too scary to go out into the world for whatever reason, over-absorption in study. Intellectual pride, and that's another one. Why does that apply to the second ray? Because they learn a lot and they want the entire picture and therefore they think they know. So that leads to intellectual pride and contempt for mental limitations in others. They go hand in hand. Can you see that? That if you've spent your life learning and studying and knowing a lot, sometimes it can lead to that impatience and that contempt for the mental limitations in other people. And I've seen that in supermarkets with cashiers, that they don't seem to get it that quickly. And you can see how people are really, really short with them. There is that, exactly that, contempt for their mental limitation. Okay. Animals. So we've got the dove, the owl, the turtle, the snail. We've covered the deer, the robin, the dolphin, the whale. But what is important here is to note the countries. Brazil is on a personality level. It's just now coming into its own. See, second ray is loud. It's just now starting to make its mark in the world, in the world, not so much politically, but in the world economically. The U.S. has got its soul on the second ray, Great Britain has its soul on the second ray, and Canada has its soul on the second ray. Do you see the connection there? Look at how Great Britain and the United States have always been so connected, and Canada, with both these countries. So institutions, schools, universities, hospitals, all the healing centers, the Red Cross, University of the Seven Rays, it's a learning institution, and vocational tendencies would be teaching, psychology, psychotherapy, human resources, healing, nursing, and rehabilitation. Then you've got some people here, and I'm going to move on because we're not going to have time to do what I want to do still. It's distributed through these signs, and I'm just going to show you a few people here that are second-rate types. Okay? I'm going to move right on to the third, and we'll save all our questions to the end. Otherwise, we won't get through this. And the third one is known as creative intelligence and adaptability and a whole host of names with a third ray. It's the ray of rotary motion. Remember we saw earlier the rays cycling in circles? That's what rotary motion is over and over and over, round and round we go. It's the ray of being circuits, being circuitous. It's certainly not straight. It's not a straight thing. It's weaving. It's adaptive. It's the ray of adaptability. Its quality is activity or creativity. It adapts. And one of the things about the third ray, it's the ray of multiplicity. It's the ray of muchness, or a lot. Its symbols is, of course, the triangle being three-sided, the weaving of the spider's web, the color of money, which is green. That's its color, green. And the bee, busy, busy, busy as a bee. Some of the names: creative intelligence, abstract intelligence, active intelligence, adaptability. You can see how you can't land on just one thing for the third ray. It's complex. It's the ray of complexity. And the color, exoteric is black, esoteric is green. See, It is, doesn't move in a straight line. It is nature. The third ray governs nature. But here we see how even a river doesn't flow straight. I mean, it goes in a meandering kind of way, creating an S shape, which is a wonderful symbol for the third ray. It is the adaptability of nature. This is very much a repeat of the third aspect of deity. It's the color green. It's the ray of many. Muchness, manyness. Have you figured out what we're looking at? These are flamingos. Look at the number of flamingos. Multiplicity, manyness. This is grass. And the ability to weave, to do the tangents. It's the intelligence potentially found in substance. It causes activity. It's what we have learned from the previous solar system. It was the quality, it was the ray that was that reached its fruition, so to say, in a previous solar system. So we automatically have that now. And what we are working right now is the second quality of the soul, or of love. It's what we need to reach a perfection in this solar system. It's the ability to weave, to manipulate, to be flexible. It is the ray of muchness, or the bounty, the plentifulness of the earth. Mutation. It will adapt. This is in one of the national parks in Utah. I'm not sure if it's Zion or one of the other parks, but you can see how the rock formation has adapted to whatever nature gave it at that time, whether it was the ice or whatever. Now, we haven't talked about the third ray as it applies to humanity. So what we are now going to do is humanize it. It's great mental agility. It's about skillful communication or facility with language and thoughts. It's the power to manipulate thought, to weave thought, to be flexible in the mind. It's also about scientific investigations of principles and concepts, like quantum physics, or concretizing that which is abstract. Whoops. It's philosophy or astrology. Time is known, Saturn is known as the father of time. It's a third ray planet. Its third ray is about time and cycles. Business, commerce, and the use of money, the production of cultures and civilization. Economics, for example, is third ray. It's an abstract concept. It's the value of something, a thing, matter, which is flexible and adaptive, set by the desires and the importance of the time. And I give you here an example of cinnamon. At one time, it was very, very highly valued, a couple of hundred years ago or so. Now, it's bought easily in any store and doesn't have nearly the same value monetarily as it did way back then. It's the ray of the abstract, abstract intelligence. It takes that which is abstract, makes it known. that which is abstract needs to be conveyed. It's the third ray minds, or the third ray individuals, that has the ability to convey that. Now, this is a whole other side of the third ray. This is the ray of commerce, of enterprise, of entrepreneur, of business, of selling, of negotiating. Multi, the multi-ness of it, the many-ness of it. And China, if you haven't figured it out, is a third-rate country. It has the greatest population in the world. Communication, translation of thought or feeling into expressed forms is third ray. All life on the planet communicates in one way or another. That is the third ray. So when we take an abstract thought of E equals mc squared, which is a formula, an abstract formula, it is given to humanity by someone like Einstein, third ray, and helps us understand relativity, the relation of one thing to another thing. It's the intelligence in matter itself. Platonic solids represent the third ray. It is that which gives something abstract a temporary or a known value. It's the Great Wall of China. It's the ray of civilization. Commerce, business. You get the idea how complex this ray can be, of the many differentiations of this ray. Abstract intelligence, creativity, business, commerce, civilization, all of these are part of the third ray. It's the one that's the hardest to pinpoint. Some of the strengths of the third ray is activity and adaptability. Mental fertility, to have that ability to understand concepts and ideas and be creative in the mind. The ability to theorize and to speculate, to plan and to strategize. Rigorous analysis and reasoning. Abstract thinking. Understanding of relativity. Modifying and qualifying for the sake of accuracy in thought. Skillful communication. These are people that it's like the salesman, the very glib salesman, very third ray, right? They can communicate. They can almost sell you anything. They have facility with language. Many of them find being multilingual very easy for them. Or they can really write using words in a way that's very creative. A facility for understanding and handling of money. This is your business people, people with that work with philanthropy, and the power to manipulate. Now, the word manipulate has baggage associated with it. By its very nature, it's not a bad word. Manipulate means moving energy. It's really what it means. How we use it, however, can take on a positive edge to it or a negative one. So, some of the weaknesses are intellectual pride. Well, obviously, it's the ray of the mind and the intellect. Tangential, they can go off on tangents. Have you ever heard a third ray person give a speech and they can just go on and on and on? They can go off on tangents. If you lost the point, for sure. Third ray needs to always centralize and come to the point because they're all like all over the place. Circuitous, they can go in circles, they can go off on a tangent, and it can be a critical mind, a critical individual too, not just the mind. Vague and overly complex thought, excessive thinking without practical action, complexity and confusion, because you can get tangled up in your own web of thinking. Absent-minded, this is very much like the absent-minded professor who's so focused on the area where he's focused on, that he's lost his sense of practicality on the physical earth. So the glasses could be on the head, and he doesn't remember or doesn't know where they are. Or the keys doesn't have a clue where they are. That kind of thing. Hyperactivity. Now, this is a different kind. This isn't in the mind. This is more in the personality. Hyperactivity, restlessness, wasted motion, and rush. We are told that the majority of humanity has third-ray personalities. So this should be very common, and we should be able to see this around us. Tendency to be scattered or spread too thin. You have your finger in too many different pots. And therefore, what is it, master of none? Inaccuracy in practical detail, like I said, like the absent-minded professor, is not practical in their detail. Can be very careless. you know, because the mind isn't there on the practicality part of it, can be manipulative and calculating. And this is where the word manipulative is used negatively, because it's this kind of thing, you know. I'm going to manipulate the situation so that it serves me, right? Like a lot of advertising is very third rate. It's very manipulative. It gets us to buy things we don't really need or want. It's calculating. It's opportunism. They will take advantage of every opportunity. Amoral materialism. Even if they know something is wrong, they will still advertise. It's like cigarettes. Knowing that cigarettes can kill you, they'll still put out good ads, even though they know morally this is not right, because it's about making the dollar, making the buck. Amoral materialism. They can be devious, deceitful, deceptive. They can go around. Remember, it's the ray that circumvents, goes around. It's not, doesn't go in a straight line. The truth. Hence, it can lead to lying. It can lead to dishonesty. Now, this is the really low downside of it. They can be over-adaptable, so that you never know if what they're telling you is the truth. Are they really with you or are they not? Because they might say one thing at one time, something else at another time. Over-adaptable. Disorder and chaos. Well, that goes with you're not practical, right? So did we look at the country? No, we didn't. Here we go. China, personality. France, personality. The Jewish people, as a people, personality. Living in Toronto, in Canada, I find that wherever the Jewish people live, the Chinese people live. There's a whole status associated with Third Ray, and with the Chinese people, and with the Jewish people, right? France gave us a lot of philosophers. institutions, banks, financial institutions, the stock market, advertising agencies, the internet, the World Wide Web, note the word web that we used earlier to describe Third Ray. And so vocational tendencies is philosophy, academia, business, finance, being an entrepreneur, and anything with market speculation, advertising, a lawyer, salespeople, marketing, astronomer, linguists, strategists, economists, mathematicians. Here are some people, and let me just see what else I have here, because I want to open it up for questions. It's distributed through Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn. Its planets are Saturn and Earth, and this is just a view of some of the people that have displayed Third Ray. So I'm going to open this up for questions, everybody, and okay. If you have your hand up, I will try to answer
Jane
it. So Jane, I see. All right, Jane. There we go. Jane, I've unmuted you. Hello, Jane. Jane, are you with us? Hello, Jane. Oh, maybe she'll still come on. Anybody else?
Luca,
there we go. Unmute Luca. Okay, Luca, go right ahead, please. Hello.
Hello, nice to meet you. I would like to ask for the first grade. There's much use of the word dynamic.
Right.
And I would, yes, dynamic in relation to power, in relation to movement, and so on. I would like you, if you could explain me a little bit with other words what this dynamic word means.
Okay. You could substitute words like life. You have a lot of life. When you've got dynamism, there's a lot of life to anything. It's vibrant. It's got energy behind it.
You know, I need it. I'm translating books from Alice Bailey. And,
right.
I have a little predicament with dynamic, because mm-hmm. in our language, the dynamic means a bit more third-way quality, the movement, the energeticness, and for the first way, I'm searching for an appropriate word, you know.
Well, you know what I can do is, when we're finished with this, I will look up in the dictionary, see exactly what the dictionary offers for dynamic and see what words would be appropriate and would relate to first ray. And if that's all right with you, I could email that to you. But
yeah.
Basically, dynamic has a lot of life to it. So dynamic, you could equivocate it with life, vital, energetic. You use the word energetic, so yes, dynamic is energetic. Like a dynamite, you know. Dynamite blows up. It's got power behind it. It's got energy behind it. It's got life behind it. It goes, right? It's not still. It's not even so much movement as it is, I don't want to use the word blast because dynamic does not necessarily mean blasting, but it's got a lot of life behind it. Dynamic also could have action of sorts behind it, and I know that you might equivocate that with third ray, but it's not that kind of action, because it's something, even a leader or the power that's behind it moves. It moves forward. It moves up.
I basically use the word to start, to it's difficult to translate, to inaugurate or to push on to for the first, you know, when something is beginning, that spark that starts things in motion. I use this word.
Yes, that is very much, that is first rate descriptive.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Is that okay?
Yes, thank you.
And I will follow up. I will see what words I can find, if there are any. Is there anybody else there? Okay, Laura.
Hello?
Hello, Laura.
Hi. Well, I can hear you perfectly. Can you hear me?
Very well, Laura.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Eva, my question might come a little bit strange, but I've always associated the third ray with the color yellow for some reason, maybe because it's a primary color. Am I totally wrong? Or
Well, you know what? I'd like to stick with what the Tibetan has given us as the colors. He's given us the yellow for the fourth ray. I can understand why yellow is used. There's a whole discussion going on right now with us and the faculty that in the previous solar system, yellow was perhaps used for the third ray. Well, we're now in we're in the second solar system. So if you mix yellow and blue, I believe you get green. Is that right? And
wow.
So green is the color for the third ray in this solar system, and yellow has now moved to be fourth ray. When we move on next time to discuss the rays of attribute, you will see why yellow for fourth ray actually works very well. Yellow stands for cowardice. We say that person is really yellow. Here in North America, that means that they're a coward, and we would see how that particular quality can be a quality of the fourth ray. So in this incarnation, or rather in this incarnation of our solar logos, yellow is considered fourth ray as opposed to third ray. But I can see why you say that.
Well, I think that's an extraordinary explanation. It's really beautiful, actually. So thank you for that. Well, I sort of have a second question about the attributes ray, but I suppose that will be the subject for a future webinar, maybe, right?
Correct.
Okay, well, that's great.
My basic question is to everybody, was what was delivered, and I know I had to rush a little bit towards the end, looking at the time, we're usually just given an hour and a half, was everything understood and explained well? That's what I need to know, that, you know, I hope you guys got it, and yeah, because we're not in a classroom and I don't get to see your faces, I don't get to see expressions, so I don't really know, but I'm hoping that it helps in that way. Any other questions? Anything that wasn't really clear or anything that you have a question about, this is the time to ask.
There's a question from Risa that gives information.
Okay. Risa, sometimes the chakra colors get mixed up with the ray colors. The third ray chakra from the bottom is yellow. That's what Risa has offered. The third chakra from the bottom is yellow. And so therefore, colors sometimes are confused with chakras. That's another way of confusion. Okay, so hopefully that helps as well. So now I see Victor has his hand up. Let me get to you, Victor. Okay, Victor. Victor, you with us? I'm hearing something that sounds a little muffled. Is that you, Victor?
Well, I'm trying to say something. But the question was about the fourth day.
Victor, I cannot hear you. You're coming out very, very muffled. Maybe you can write your question out.
Yeah, put it in the question area.
I'm going to move on to Vera.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, Vera.
Yeah, hello, Eva. Can
hello.
You hear me? Yeah, good.
Yes, very well.
Excellent. So I have a question about the second ray, and what is later said in the blue books that it's a form. It's a ray for form forming, creating forms, and I always struggled with that. I associate the second ray more with the consciousness and subjective side of life psychology, but not with form, creating forms. But maybe it will be next time when you discuss the rays of attributes to compare the seven ray and the second ray in respect of this creating forms.
Okay, that's a good point. We should then see the difference between the two rays. But the second ray is also known as the builder. The second ray builds, and in the building, forms are created. It holds everything together. Hence, in that respect, the forms are created. It coheres and holds the cells, the molecules, the everything together that creates the forms in that way, and is known as the great builder.
Is it more sort of like forming up in the area of buddhic and mind, and then maybe second seventh ray is creating on the physical level?
It's not that cut and dry. Second ray, all the rays work on all the various levels in that respect. So there is a much more concrete and practical side to a ray. There's also a much more aspect and a higher associations with a ray. Seventh ray is the densest of all the rays, and we will learn that. And what it does, it's not so much that it creates the forms, it wants to more than anything bring life and deity into the form, right? It wants to bring a representation of God into the form, so that the form is not just like a dead thing, right? Uh-huh. It has the life, and it reflects then deity in substance, in form. That's what seventh ray wants to do. Second ray builds the forms, is the one that holds and binds the forms together.
It's totally opposite what I thought. Great. Thank you. I will meditate.
Sorry about that. Actually, I'll see if I can find something out of the text to maybe help you with that, okay? I'll see if I can find something that the Tibetan may have said to help you out. I'm going to mute you, and I'm going to see if there are any more hands. I know there's someone who wrote something, right?
Eva, yeah. Victor has responded with a written question.
Okay.
Third ray, concrete, abstract idea sounds like fifth ray. What is the difference?
Okay. Well, The third ray is just that, abstract. Fifth ray is far more concrete. It's the ray of concrete intelligence. So it's the ray of the mind working on an everyday basis. It works with that which is available here on our earth, with things. It works with like in the discovery of electricity, or working in a laboratory with cells to discover a cure. It works with mathematics that are not considered abstract math. There's a big difference between higher math and regular math. So the fifth ray is the ray of technology, of the ray of our concrete intelligence. Third ray is the ray of concepts, ideas, abstract ideas. There's a real difference between the two. They are both rays of the mind, hence the confusion. They are both odd rays, and the mind works well with odd rays, whether it's 1, 3, 5, or 7. The mind works well with odd rays, because a mind, more than anything, wants to separate. The fifth ray is about separating. It separates this from that so it can understand it. It looks at the little pieces in order to understand the whole, which is what I said earlier. We're taking all of this apart. We're doing a fifth ray thing in order to then put it together and understand the whole. That's just a very quick overview between the two. But more will be said when we look at the rays of abstract. So there's Usha there. Thank you for the wonderful presentation. I found it very clear, very enjoyable, a lot to absorb. We'll need to listen to this again. Okay. Are there any other questions? Let me see what Risa wrote. Where can we access the information about Ray 2 and form in the Tibetan? I will look it up, and I'll see if I can put that out on student forum there. I'll see if I can find something out of that in the books, okay? And I just want to say thank you for a beautiful webinar, Eva. Thank you very much, Laura. Any more questions? Because I can feel the urgency of time. You can see how I have tried to manage time, maybe not that successful. So there are no more questions. There's nothing coming through. I thank you all from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much for joining me in this work. I love the rays, and I love talking about the rays. I could go on for hours and hours, but I appreciate you being here. I cannot tell you yet when the next webinar will be. We're going to still try to have a webinar which is course-related with other faculties present as well as a panel, but this one was just for the first part of the rays. So thank you very much, and if all of you will sign off, I will sign off after you've all left. Okay? Bye, everyone. And om to everybody. A silent om is a very, very good way to end.
Okay. Muted.
Can we see if everybody has signed off?
I don't think we can necessarily see.
We have not.
No.
But we can end the webinar.
Because I know my